Nigeria. But if we don't take the right steps, we may not have them anymore. Here's today's big hard fact. There are less than 100 gorillas left in Nigeria. Can you imagine that? Less than 100. They're now at the brink of extinction, but all hope isn't lost. Gorillas in Nigeria can still be saved. I think that this is an important matter, but perhaps you don't agree that it is important. And you're asking me, okay, well, Sandra, why should I care about gorillas? There's flooding in the nation, you know, and that's fair. And that's also part of what my guest today will be answering. My guest is from Wild Aid, Dr. Marco Fua. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Thank you very much, Sandra. It's a pleasure to be here.
Lagos, we also want to hear from you. What questions do you have about gorillas in Nigeria? What questions do you have about Wild Aid's efforts to save these gorillas in Nigeria? But before you start to call us, first of all, let's even know who Wild Aid is, what Wild Aid does, what's your mission, what types of actions and interventions and actions do you take to achieve your mission?
Okay, Wild Aid is a non-governmental organization, and we are concerned primarily about the environment. We are focused on wildlife, but also the plants, because the forests is the home for wildlife, so you can't separate
right,
them.
Right, you can't separate, yeah.
So our major campaign focus is on enlightenment, because we believe the negative action, the destructive action of people, it stems from not knowing any better.
Okay.
So we try to get people to know more about the environment and what they are doing against themselves in hurting the environment. I like giving a very quick picture. When you wake up in the morning, you clean yourself up, you clean your room up, clean your house, take all the trash and you throw outside. But it does not really impinge on us that the outside you threw the trash is your bigger home and we're in it. So most of our activities is deleterious and we're the ones that suffer, but we usually do not draw the link. So that's where Wild Aid come. We tell you that, look, we love these animals. We want to save the animals. But the aim, the real focus is humanity. In saving these animals, we are saving humanity.
Humanity as well. Yes. Wow, I love that. Okay. All right, let's talk about gorillas. How does saving gorillas save humanity?
Very interesting. I'm happy this discourse is coming at this point in time.
Okay.
Where the fear at the back of everybody's mind, Lagosians a bit less, but outside Lagos more, floods. You mentioned it.
Yeah.
We won't see a direct link between gorillas and the floods.
Okay.
There is no direct link, so why?
Not obvious to me.
Yes, but okay. The fear of the flood. The other day I was thinking, do I have to buy a little canoe in my compound so that the day it floods in Lagos, because there are predictions.
Yes.
Then I will have something to. Now gorillas, they occupy the forest regions. They're found in the equatorial Africa.
Okay.
Separated by the Congo Basin. Now this forest, this particular type, the area of forest, is regarded as the lungs of the planet. Not the lungs of Nigeria, not the lungs of Africa, but the lungs of the planet. So as we are decimating and destroying the forest, just imagine a human with a lung disease. Well, the human won't be complete again. So you see some of these natural disasters occurring in different parts of the world as a result of our inordinate relationship with our forests. So you see the direct link.
Yeah.
Now we're decimating the gorillas. What is the function of the gorillas? These gorillas are like the guardians of the forests.
Okay.
Their activities ensure the survival of the forest.
Okay.
So, so many ways. First of all, they feed on fruits. They help seed dispersal.
Okay.
They eat in point A, travel kilometers to point B, and they poop.
Plant. Oh.
They poop. Okay. Now, it will interest you to note that there are some plants that the seed would only grow if it has gone through the gut of an ape.
Are you serious? Yes. Like, so what plant? Can you give me an example?
Several. So many of the forest plants.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
So if you take the
seeds.
But
are forest plants important? Do we use forest plants?
Just give me a second.
Okay.
Now, if you take of the seeds of this plant and you put in the soil, it won't grow until it goes through the processing of the gut of an ape.
Now,
imagine the gorillas are disappearing. It means this particular plants are disappearing.
Right.
And these plants make up the biome of forest. Okay. This forest is dying.
Okay.
And now the these plants are not able to do the function, the lung function. They clean up the air.
Mm.
They take up carbon from the air and give us clean oxygen to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Now the forest is not able to do its function
anymore.
Coupled with global warming and everything,
right.
And you see flooding. Then you see natural disasters. There are going to be many more natural disasters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not being a prophet of doom.
Of course.
I am telling you the facts as it is.
Yeah.
It is because of our inordinate relationship with our environment.
Where can we find gorillas in Nigeria? I don't think I've ever seen a gorilla in Nigeria.
It's sad. I'm sure when you mention gorillas in Nigeria, a lot of your audience, they
were like,
gasped.
Hmm?
Yes. Because it's sad that we're losing our gorillas.
Hmm.
You were right when you said there are less than 100 left in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is we have a unique species of gorilla.
Okay.
Known as a cross river gorilla.
Okay.
It's not found anywhere else in the world.
I see.
Apart from Nigeria.
Oh my gosh.
And the border we share with Cameroon.
Okay.
So that's where you find this species of gorillas.
Okay.
In total, they...
Why are they called cross river?
Because that's where they were first discovered.
I see.
And
okay.
That's the only place they are found.
So cross river for like cross river Calabar.
Yes, yes. Huh, yes
I see.
Yes.
Okay.
So something was named after that. You know, so we have about 100 in Nigeria, about 200 in Calabar, in Cameroon.
Cameroon, okay.
Across the border.
Okay.
And that's the only place they are found.
Okay.
Everywhere in the world.
Okay.
So you find out that these gorillas, they are highly endangered. They are actually listed as critically endangered.
Can I ask something before we move even further? How is a cross river gorilla different from a gorilla you find anywhere else in the world?
Oh, well, gorillas are found only in Africa.
Okay.
So it's in Western Africa.
Okay.
And
see, I didn't even know
the eastern part.
I didn't even know that gorillas are found only in Africa.
Only in just western and eastern part of Africa.
Africa.
Yes,
okay.
In Congo Basin and then in Western Africa.
I see.
Only.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So these gorillas, they are unique, and their DNA is what actually differentiates them.
Okay.
The DNA and then some physical features.
Okay.
The fur of the cross river gorilla is denser.
Okay.
And they are more compact and smaller than their eastern cousins.
Okay. Because they are suffering. Okay. All right then. So you were saying that there are currently 100 gorillas in Nigeria at most. Mm. At their peak population, how many were they?
Oh, we had hundreds of thousands.
Mm.
Yes. It will interest you to know. Now, we said the cross river gorilla remains about 300, and then we have about 1,000 in the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
The highest concentration of gorillas is actually in Western Africa,
okay,
the lowland gorillas,
okay,
and they number about 100,000,
okay,
and they survived this much,
okay,
because they were secluded,
okay,
by their habitats,
okay,
from human activities,
okay,
you understand. So, hunters, loggers, poachers, everybody couldn't go there,
okay,
they were only recently discovered,
okay,
and they numbered in about 100,000,
okay,
so that tells you that the cross river gorilla that is remaining 300. Once we're in that number
as well,
but
yeah,
because of our activities, we have decimated them.
What happened to them? What activities decimated them? What factors? What are the factors behind their depleting population?
The first thing, the first major problem these gorillas have is habitat loss.
Okay, when you say habitat loss, what do you mean?
Their forests are disappearing.
Why are they disappearing?
So many things, so many factors. First of all, agriculture. We, instead of us look for smarter ways to use the land we have, we go for more land.
Okay.
Society is evolving and getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of looking for smarter ways of building houses and maybe doing skyscrapers and all, we clear more land. So that is decimating their forest. That is one.
Okay.
On one hand. Okay. Then you have illegal logging.
Okay. What is illegal logging?
Loggers going deep into the forest.
Who are loggers?
People that want timber.
Okay.
Okay, they want forest products, timber basically.
Okay.
And in Nigeria, there is a particular timber that is highly prized.
Okay.
It's highly prized.
Okay.
Now, it's illegal because these plants are protected by law.
I see. In Nigeria?
Yes, in Nigeria.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So
oh my,
it's illegal.
We have laws protecting plants in Nigeria?
Nigeria has very beautiful sets of laws.
My goodness.
The problem would make you laugh. The problem is enforcement. So these illegal loggers, they go into the forest to get this. I mean, the bigger the wood, the better.
Mm.
So to get big ones, you have to go deeper. you know, and this is decimating the habitat of the gorilla.
Right.
But that is just on one side. Now, the tracks they make into the forest mm-hmm. provides routes for hunters and poachers to go deeper into the forest
and
to get these animals. Bushmeat, a gorilla, an adult silverback or adult male gorilla weighs about 200 kg.
Okay.
So that is some really serious bushmeat.
People eat gorillas?
Oh, yes. It's in the bushmeat menu.
Okay.
You know, so that is another
thing.
Do they
know it's gorilla when they eat it?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
And the interesting thing is, it's an elitist taste. It's
so it's not
poor
even poor people eating it. I see.
Poor people don't eat bushmeat. I keep saying that. People say, oh, it's poverty that is driving the bushmeat trade. I say poor people don't eat bushmeat.
Hmm. Because bushmeat is very expensive.
The cheapest bushmeat is the grass cutter.
Mm-hmm.
And one grass cutter sells for about 5 chickens. The same exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So he would rather sell the grass cutter mm-hmm. and buy 5 chicken that has more flesh for his family.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an elitist urban taste.
And it doesn't even have a lot of meat on it.
No, it doesn't.
The bushmeat doesn't have a lot of meat on it.
No.
Yeah.
So it's an elitist urban trade that is driving the bushmeat trade.
I see.
Yes.
So rich people are the problem.
Yeah, the problem. Yes. Yes. It's just
okay.
It.
So we've talked about people who are looking for the rosewood.
Yes.
Going into their habitat and then the tracks they're making, giving road for
hunters,
poachers.
And
hunters, what other factors exist?
Then also mineral mining.
Okay.
Lots of mineral. There's this particular mineral, coltan.
Okay.
That is used for making our cell phones, computers, laptops, and gadgets.
I see.
That is mined from the forest.
I see.
So, first of all, they will clear the area.
To be able to mine.
Then they'll build camps.
Oh.
And then they feed the campers with the bushmeat.
Oh, my.
So, they hunt these gorillas and other animals to feed the campers, and this decimates the gorillas. Now, that is just on one hand. The hunters also, most hunters, let me put it this way, most hunters don't go into the forest for gorillas.
Hmm.
But they go there to set snares
hmm.
to catch antelopes,
mm-hmm.
bush pig,
mm-hmm.
monkeys, and
mm-hmm.
all that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
These snares do not have the memo
mm-hmm.
that, oh, please,
oh,
just
don't catch gorillas.
So
just
you get these gorillas being ensnared. Oh. It's a major, you see gorillas in the forest losing without an arm, without, you know, one very sad story, a baby gorilla was trapped in a snare, and the mother stayed with the baby.
Aww.
And then the mother, you know, so it's usually that. And in the pet trade, when you see a gorilla baby in the pet trade, just envisage about 3, 4, 5 dead adults, because they won't give you their baby. So what happens?
So when you say pet trade, as in people who buy them to use as pets?
Yes, illegal pet trade. Yes,
okay.
It fetches quite some amount if you can sell it outside the country and all that.
Okay.
So these are the factors that are driving the extinction of our gorillas.
Oh my, Lagos! You guys know I love animals, and so I'm hearing that, you know, the mother of a gorilla was killed, and my heart is just breaking, to be honest with you. Okay, so now there are very few people like me and very few people like you.
Yeah.
Why do we need to care about this thing that you're talking about? Because when you were talking about the rosewood, for instance, and people, you know, clearing lands to build more houses, live on more places, have a bit more farmlands. Mm. I mean, on the Big Three today, I was talking about a lot of farmlands currently underwater as a result of the flooding, you know. People need to eat. People need somewhere to live. That's why they need the wood. They need the land, etc., etc. And I have people who are listening to me right now who are saying, well, living somewhere, feeding off of my farms, that's more important than the life of a gorilla. You know, so why should I care about gorillas? My life is more important than the life of a gorilla. That's what they will say. I don't think
Absolutely.
So, but that's what they would say.
Yes.
You know, to that, what do you say?
Now, when you now see that the demise of the gorilla is a direct threat to your life, you would want to reconsider your position.
How?
Now, I hear people telling me that, oh, you're even more direct. People say, oh, bushmeat is cultural. It's traditional. It's in our culture. We have to eat. I'm very quick to tell them, killing of twins was cultural. Human sacrifices was cultural. But when we saw that this culture was inimical to our survival, we didn't kill the gorillas. But by the time you now see that if the gorillas go, the forest dies, natural disaster is more, flooding is more, you now want to do a rethink. Because you know your survival is dependent on theirs. We nature, we don't need acquaintance happiness. Mother is a very gentle mother, but when aroused, she can be very fearsome. So if we continue pushing nature to the brink.
Mm-hmm.
When it explodes and do a U-turn, we can't stand it.
We really can't.
COVID-19 silenced the world. Western, Eastern, Southern,
everybody
everywhere.
Leveled us.
We were silent with fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we have to now start rethinking our stance and our status.
Mm-hmm.
When we see that these activities are really against our survival, then we should start making stance to reverse it. If not, we are the ones that will go thinking we're smart.
Okay, well, it's a good thing I'm asking you this question, because we have lots of people right now who are asking, what is the use of gorilla in this country? Why do we need them?
Let me tell you another part. Very interesting. Now, what is our major foreign exchange earner?
Dollars.
Yes.
Oil.
Oil.
Mm-hmm.
We are so focused on the oil
mm-hmm.
that we do not see other resources that we have.
True.
Meanwhile, ecotourism in countries like Uganda, Rwanda, South Africa,
mm-hmm.
Kenya,
mm-hmm.
factors for a major part of their foreign exchange earnings.
Ecotourism?
Yes.
Okay, so for now, those who don't know what is it?
Money made
mm-hmm.
from tourists coming into the country to look at your nature.
Hmm.
You're not spending a dime.
Hmm.
You're not producing.
Hmm.
You're just keeping it for them to come and look. They pay and they go. Now, let me bring it to the subject. A gorilla walk in Rwanda. 1 hour,
mm-hmm.
Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour
mm-hmm.
in the forest
mm-hmm.
to look at gorillas
mm-hmm.
cost about $1,500.
For 1 hour?
For 1 hour.
$1,500 right now, depending on which exchange rate you're using, is over $1 million
yes.
now, right
yes.
now,
yes.
if it's black market rate.
Yes.
Because dollar is over 700 naira right now.
Absolutely.
1,500.
1 hour.
For 1 hour.
Now you're not going to.
For one person.
For one person. You're not
so
going to.
So there's three of us in this studio right now, and we could be making what? $4,500 an hour.
An hour.
Just for people to come and look at gorillas.
Look at gorillas. Now, the gorillas are not in a cage.
They're just running free.
They're in their forest.
Minding their business, living
so
their life.
So if you are unfortunate and they decide to be sleeping in your 1 hour,
now you sabi.
It's gone.
But you have sharp paid the
you
money.
You sharp paid and you will leave because you're just walking on a path.
You wake them up.
And let me tell you, let me give you the catch.
Yeah.
They are fully booked for up to 3 months ahead.
Are you serious?
Yes, fully booked.
In countries like Uganda and Kenya?
Yes, for 3 months. So you have to book from 3-4 months ahead.
Just to come and look at gorillas.
Just to look at the gorillas. So you can see what we are losing. And then when these tourists come, apart from the money they pay, when they come, they stay with the local community.
That's right. They stay in hotels.
They stay in hotels around.
That's right.
They buy artifacts and whatnot from mm-hmm. the local communities.
Mm-hmm. So it trickles down.
It trickles down. You see, you've brought earnings to the local community.
Mm.
Electricity gets to them.
Mm-hmm.
Infrastructure gets to them
mm-hmm.
because tourists will use this.
Mm-hmm.
And then who do you think will be the gamekeepers, the minders, the veterinarians,
the cleaners, etc., etc.
Everybody. So you're
so everybody benefits.
Everybody benefits. You're creating jobs. You're bringing income. Your development and everything trickles down.
Hmm.
And these are regions that we do not even know about.
Ah.
Do you understand? So conserving our gorillas would go a long way to help us. And what do you need to do to conserve the gorillas? Very little. Laws. We have laws. Beautiful laws in Nigeria protecting our wildlife. Enforcement is almost zero.
Okay. We have people trying to join the conversation. Let's talk to them. 0700-993-993-993. 0700-993-993-993. By the way, I've got 5,000 naira to give away to three lucky people later on the show. So don't go away if you want to win that money. 993. Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. What's your name, ma'am?
I'm Esther.
Esther, welcome. What do you think about what you're hearing?
Yes, like you said, you love animals. I just wanted to ask, what about snakes?
Snakes?
Is it proper for people to kill snakes because they are dangerous?
Okay, well, thank you for asking that question. Keep listening, he's going to answer. I don't think we should kill snakes, but what do you think, Dr. Mark?
I find it actually funny she asked the question. Very interesting, actually, not funny.
Mm.
Because I am also an advocate for snakes. We need these animals around us.
Mm.
She made a point that they are dangerous. What if I tell you, ma'am, that it's only about 10-15% of snakes
that are dangerous,
that are venomous and dangerous?
Well, you know, we didn't know that. We don't know that.
So the majority of snakes
are
not.
Like, but how do you know which one is which?
You don't even need to know which is which. We do not encourage you to play with them or to pick them.
Mm.
Just realize that we need these animals around us mm-hmm. and give them the right to exist.
So I should allow snakes to enter my house?
Why? It doesn't want to enter your house. If you see a snake in your house, it's hunting. You have rats. Period.
Oh.
They don't like humans. They
it's
don't
not
have
my
anything.
Village people.
No, it's not your village people. You have rats.
It's not my wicked uncle.
No, it's not.
the snake is just coming to hunt my rats.
With the decimation of the snakes around us, mm-hmm. we now have diseases born by rats on the increase.
Lassa fever.
Lassa fever killed more people in Nigeria than COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Mm-hmm. So we should learn to live with our wildlife. That's what we are preaching.
Okay, let's take a few more thoughts. 99.3, hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
My name is Charles.
Hi, Charles. Welcome.
Okay, so my thoughts is this. Mm-hmm. Luckily, yesterday we had a session. We had a conversation. Are animals stakeholders? That was the question.
I like that question.
So everybody had to go into their own focus group to go and check out if animals are case study. And we found out that one, some people agreed that they are case study. Other people said the animals are not stakeholders.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Mm. The animals are not stakeholders. Why? Because they said animals don't take dividend like investors. Animals do not invest capital. Some other people argued that some companies are even going virgin. As in, they don't use animal products in their production of their own items.
Yes. Mm.
So they are becoming compliant. They are now observing. There are certain rules preserving these animals because at the end of the day, it preserves the environment. And I'm so happy to listen to you guys on this because it also forms part of what I'm going to do right on my research.
Charles, thank you very much for calling. Okay, we have to take a quick break, but I want to take messages from social media first. Gorillas and some birds enrich our forests through their activities. This message did not come with a name, but thank you very much for sending it. We've got Tunde from Lakmara who says, if a lion fights a gorilla, can the gorilla kill the lion considering the weight of the gorilla? Interesting question, but again, not the focus of our conversation here, so I'm just going to walk away from that conversation. It sounds like Superman and Batman fight, who will win?
They are in different ranges, so they won't meet.
We've got...
They won't meet naturally.
They'll never see ordinarily.
Yeah.
We've got Akem from Obudu local government who says, rosewood is resistant to fire. It fixes nitrogen in the soil. It provides protection to many wild animals. Gorillas open the forest for the sunlight to penetrate into for the forest for sun-loving plants to grow and carry out their functions within the biodiversity. Sandra, visit Kenyan Forest and see the Kayan Forest and see the Cross River Gorilla. Akem, thank you so much for listening. Akem is listening all the way from Obudu local government area.
Okay.
We've got this message here from Charlie. Charlie says, I'm a graduate of wildlife management from the Federal University of Agriculture, ABAC. Apart from gorillas, Nigeria is the only country in the world that is blessed with a species called white-throated monkeys that can generate foreign revenue. I can totally relate to your guest by the fact that if three of us had booked 3 months ahead, Uganda or Kenya would have made $4,500 from us just to come and look at gorillas for 1 hour.
1 hour.
1 hour. Mm. And we're crying that oil is finishing. Look at money. I'm sorry, I'm an Igbo woman, so I'm focusing on that part. We'll take a break. When we come back, Lagos, I'll keep talking to Dr. Mark Ofua. He's a representative from Wild Aid. Nigeria has gorillas. We're one of the only countries in the world that has gorillas. Right now, they are less than 100. They're called Cross River gorillas, am I right?
Yes.
And I've got Dr. Mark Ofua, who is a vet, wildlife conservationist, who works with Wild Aid, and he's on the show with us today, talking to us about why we should care about gorillas. Now, before the break, we were taking calls. We were taking your thoughts on the subject, and you had really, really interesting thoughts on the subject. So, for instance, I've got this message here from Isaiah. Isaiah is in Lakwe. Isaiah says, I love wildlife so much. I wish to work with your guests so he can train me more wildlife. Okay, well, I really hearing this. I don't like to miss the green need on your station, Mr. Mejikodumi, but I want to ask, won't gorillas hurt people when they are not in cages?
Very interesting. Gorillas, over the years, through movies and all, have been given a bad rap by people who don't think gorillas. They're very pissed.
Gorillas?
Yes. Once you threaten them, they really don't care about you.
How does one put threats to gorillas?
Well, when you don't do anything threatening, like try to approach suddenly,
okay,
or go near their infants, mm-hmm, or something, mm-hmm, they just ignore you.
Okay.
The gorilla walk in Rwanda, they walk up to you, actually.
Oh!
Yes, they walk up to you, yes. And they could look, your glasses, beautiful, and come and take the glasses off and look at it.
Oh, my God!
Very peaceful animals. So as long as we don't, and you know, human being, we have this extended capacity for stupidity. So once we don't display that, they really don't care about whether you're there or not.
Are you
very
serious?
Peaceful creatures. Yeah.
Oh, I like the idea of them coming to take my glasses. We've got a message here. Please assist. How can I be an active member of your NGO? Okay. We've got a message here. Ifani is saying, Sandra is even the best. Is even best, the remaining gorilla should jackpa because it appears it isn't going very well for them. Okay. We've got our friend from Obudu who says, Sandra, do you know that I cry each time that a tree is felled? Due to my knowledge of the fundamental roles that the forest plays in the protection of the biodiversity of the ecosystem, do you know that different trees absorb different carbons or greenhouse gases from the atmosphere?
Yeah.
Yes, that's why people who know plant different species of trees in their natural habitat. Akem, thank you so much for your insights. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling, sir. What's your name?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Adeyemi calling.
Adeyemi, welcome.
Yeah, please, I have a little question for your guest there.
Sure, go ahead.
I used to hear right from during the childhood that when you move closer to a gorilla and if you see your five hands, you are having five, and I was going to break one out of it. I don't know how it's true.
Okay.
Absolutely not true. You didn't like to.
I think they just said that you should not move close to gorilla. And in any case, you're not supposed to move close to gorilla. We've got Azu Frank calling us from Indonesia. Hi, Azu Frank. Good to have you on the show.
Hi, Sandra.
Welcome.
Yeah, I'm good. Listening to your topic, I don't know if I should be sad or happy because I really love that silverback gorilla. That animal is gracious. You need to see the strength and how it moves. The authority it, you know, oozes, you know. But Nigeria being what it is now, I went to a zoo or a park and a zoo here in Indonesia, and I saw some animals. And you know what I... especially the tortoise. They said tortoise from Nigeria, well taken care of. Like, you need to see how they preserved and, you know, they kept those animals. And I asked myself, what can we even just do right? You were amazed with the prizes of, you know.
Yes, so, I was. Mm-hmm.
Let me blow your mind. Do you know that there's this animal called the polar bear? I think it's just only for China.
In China,
they're
yes.
The ones that have that animal.
Panda.
Yes.
Panda.
They don't even sell it. You know what they do?
They rent it.
In other countries. Mm-hmm. Millions of dollars. They rent it out. Mm. Like, you're going to view and see this animal for this couple of years and bring it back to us. Mm. They don't sell. Like, there is so much money in animal or this tourism. My question to your guest is, please, let's leave this government and all these laws out of it. What can the private sector do to help? Because I really love animals. If you are looking for these politicians, all these people, we know them. There's nothing that will come up from it and the government. What can the private sector do to, like, you know, enhance and, you know, keep those animals and take good care of them, please?
All right. Thank you very much, Azu, for calling. Doc?
Okay. Thank you very much for that question. And, I'm excited knowing where you're calling from. Now and then, about two or three other people called in too and asked, how can I help? How can I join? Mm-hmm.
How can I get involved?
I'm very, very happy to be getting these questions. And I put it to you that this job is for everybody. There's a role for everybody to play. Sandra explained her role already. She granted me audience. Now you have heard, you'd know. I try to think of myself as a preacher for wildlife, a preacher for conservation. Now you have a role to play. Sadly, the politicians are the ones making the laws and that also see to the enforcement of the laws. So we can put pressure to bear on them. And trust me, they would listen because they want to trend. A decade ago, the political mantra for campaign was road, lights, water. That was it, because that was a question that was topmost at the In our minds.
Mm-hmm.
I can almost assure you, campaigns have just started.
Mm-hmm.
No politician will mention road, light and water because it's no longer topmost.
Mm.
What is topmost? Security.
That's right.
You know, they respond to whatever we put topmost. So by the time we put our environment and the wildlife as topmost, they would respond to it. When in a calling session or something, you ask, what is your agenda for the environment? What is your agenda for conservation?
Mm.
Even if he had none, he would start thinking of something. And then the next time he comes online, he has read something about the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And when he wants to act, he would want to do something about the environment. So we all are able to put pressure. Support NGOs around you that are supporting these gorillas, this environment.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about them, publicize it. The worst form of loss and how it's easier for the thief is when you do not know what you have.
Mm.
If you have 100,000 naira in your pocket and you know, I'm sure when you're walking in a,
you're
conscious of it, you're protecting it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do not know you're carrying money or what you have is valuable, you're careless with it. And anybody can come and rip it off from you.
$1,500 an hour.
You don't even know you're losing.
And we don't know that we're losing.
So it's
that.
Sad.
Oh my.
So by the time we put this to bed, then we would sit up more to protect our gorillas and our environment.
Now, you mentioned that Nigeria has laws, right? So we've got these laws, we've got regulations. Do we have any that protect the gorillas?
Yes. Now, gorillas are listed as critically endangered, protected by CITES law. CITES is an international convention.
Okay.
And Nigeria is a party to it. So we signed
We signed to a lot of conventions.
And then we have actually domesticated these laws.
Okay.
I'm telling you, our laws are amongst the top admired in conservation circles.
I see.
But enforcement is almost zero.
Why?
Because we do not know. And that's where wild it comes in.
Who's we?
Enforcers.
Okay. Who are the enforcers?
Police, customs, law enforcement, NESRIA, and all that.
Okay.
They do not really know. The level of training leaves much to be desired.
Right.
Do you understand?
Right.
Now, let me make you laugh. Pangolins.
Mm-hmm.
Protected to another endangered species found in Nigeria.
Right.
Beautiful creatures.
Right.
Now, the highest seizure in the world of pangolin scales was done in Nigeria, I think about 2018 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it was done accidentally. How? The customs officers received a tip-off that ivory was being kept in the warehouse, and he responded to it. In the same warehouse, there were these bags of something that looked like trash. He just reasoned that for these bags to be in the same place with the ivory, it must be valuable. He didn't know what they were.
Oh.
So he just told his boys to carry.
Mm.
And then en route the station, somebody comes and say, "Oga, don't worry, the ivory you can take. But these bags, just drop them for us. We'll give you XYZ amount. Millions. And then immediately he heard that, he knew that, these things are valuable. And he said no, he put his foot down. And it was the largest seizure, totaling billions of dollars.
Oh my God.
That was made.
Oh
so
my God.
We do not know then
so
how
we
do we protect.
So we could be making money from the pangolins.
No, we don't want you to.
Like have people to come and look at them
oh,
too.
Oh yes.
Yes.
In South Africa, to 1 hour, yes, about 1 hour to view a pangolin doing its thing in the natural
living
environment.
Living in its habitat.
It's about 50,000 rands.
My God.
That's some good money.
50,000 rand.
Yes. Yeah, so
to look at a pangolin.
Just to look and go away.
Lagos.
So
look at money.
You see, we are losing money from not latching onto ecotourism and exploiting that aspect of our biodiversity.
Okay. I've got information to share with you just before I come to the phone lines to speak with you. And this one is something that will probably make you money as well while we're looking for a way to get the government to get up. Look away from oil. Look at something else that we have. Yes?
So I know we are talking about gorillas, but let me tell you why you should pay for the drinks that your squad will be drinking this weekend.
The phone lines now, 99.3. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
I'm Sandra.
Sir, what's your name, sir?
My name is Chiki. I'm calling from Edo State.
Okay.
Let's talk about wild animals. Somebody mentioned about 50,000 rand to watch a pangolin in South Africa. I don't think it's worth that much.
Okay.
Wildlife being in South Africa is not that expensive.
Okay.
I once lived there.
Okay.
However, when are you doing your question and answer series?
Very soon, very soon. Keep listening, very soon. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
How are you, man? What's your name?
I can go on the line.
Aiwe, welcome.
Yeah, he has spoken about advantage of the LFI talks. And we know they use the cow horns to do botting. What is advantage of the chimpanzee, abi the gorilla? What benefit can human beings get from them? Because all I know, they attack people in the farm and break their hand, break their leg. That is what that's why the hunters hunt them. And then gorilla, they are of no use to mankind. They are the greatest enemy to farmers. Because I am a farmer, my brother killed one gorilla, and if you go to a state market, every village market, they have gorilla meat there. So that's why it's even cheaper than cow. Why not we protect cow? I've been using it as what I've been using gorilla. The gorilla is of no use, they should be killed. And what of the monkey? Don't we eat monkey? Are they not the species of gorilla? Why would somebody be encouraged what God has cast away? God said that we have a power over animal. Now, why friendly with animal that is of no use to you? A gorilla enter somebody's house and took the newborn baby and take it away. Then the hunter started hunting him before they could get the gorilla. He has killed the baby. So let that man tell us.
All right.
One of the benefits or economical profits we get from gorilla, because all I know that the witches and wizards, they use gorilla to entertain themselves in their witchcraft meeting, because it has harm. They is the one that cook food for cook the human being, they transform into animal for them.
Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dr. Mark, you've heard the very passionate submission from the last caller. What do you say?
Now, that is a very, very interesting submission, and I really appreciate the last caller for having the courage to come up to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And what she actually mentioned is another thing driving the extinction of gorillas.
Okay.
Farmer-wildlife conflicts.
Okay.
Sadly, there would always be conflicts between farmers and wildlife.
Okay.
You have it with elephants, you have it with lions, because lions will want to, the cattle is easy prey. You know, the same thing. The gorillas, when they see this like a farm of corn, it's food. They see food. They don't see farmland. They don't know you own it. So they will come to raid these farms. And part of conservation of gorillas is actually addressing this problem. There's this program where the government and NGOs, they compensate farmers whose farms has been decimated by wildlife, so that you don't go for revenge, you're paid. Even the Maasai in Kenya, if a lion takes their cattle, they get paid by the government for the cattle, you know. So that is that aspect. But the other things she said about gorillas being ferocious and all that, it's untrue. These are all stories we gave ourselves that we embellished over the years.
Okay.
Yes, if a farmer goes up and a hunter goes up to a gorilla, the gorilla will defend itself.
Okay.
Every way it can.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Okay.
But if you don't bother them, they won't bother you.
Okay.
And that's the fact.
Okay.
So they are not the terrible animals we think they are. I've stood next to a gorilla before, and it wasn't even interested.
Well, you're here in the studio with me.
I'm telling you, I've hunted with baboons. I followed them into their hunting grounds, their foraging grounds, and I was walking with them, and they ignored me as if I didn't exist because I obeyed the rules and I wasn't a threat to them. So what we have is folklore embellished over the years. And then she mentioned something about a gorilla coming into the house to pick a baby. It is possible, and it's just purely psychology.
Okay.
Maybe a female gorilla lost her baby, stolen by hunters or something.
Oh.
And then she traces the baby and then hears an infant crying. That maternal instinct. I'm sure you've seen on Natural World where a lioness adopted a baby antelope.
Yes, I've seen that.
Because, it's maternal instinct that just kicked in. It won't hurt that baby. There was a time in the zoo in the U.S. when a human baby fell into a gorilla enclosure.
I saw, and it didn't hurt the baby.
The silverback protected the baby from the other youngsters that would play rough.
Yeah.
Till the guards came and then handed over to the guards.
Yeah.
So these animals have been given a bad rap. Okay. No, they are not witches and wizards. They are not. owls, cats are not witches and wizards.
I've got two cats and I can promise you they're not witches.
If witches and wizards are real, we humans are the witches. I'm afraid of humans.
Oh my gosh, okay. All right. You know, everyone is hanging around and waiting for me to give away the money that I have to give. So I have to let you go, Dr. Mark. But before you go, you have to very quickly, your final thoughts on this subject. Because we've covered so much ground, but you have a lot of people like that last caller. We've got a message here that says that last caller is not even laughable but annoying. Now, wow. We've got a message here. Can this woman? Ooh, no. Yeah, you should be nice now. You should be nice. The Damien says witch does suffer for her hand. This last caller got me laughing like a gorilla in my car. Other drivers kept wondering what was happening. I'm still laughing. It's a very interesting topic. Kazim from Ejibo. So your final thoughts on this subject and why they are important? Because again, she was also asking, you know, why can't we protect cows, you know, and eat gorillas? Like gorilla meat is cheaper than cow meat. You know, why are we gorillas serve no purpose for humanity? They fight farmers, they attack farmers, you know. So for people like her, you know, what's your final word for them?
Well, when we started, I mentioned that gorillas ensure the life of the forest.
That's right.
And the forest, we are dependent on the forest. The forest is the lung of the earth.
Mm.
So we want to keep the forest alive.
Mm.
So we need to keep the gorillas alive. And gorillas are also known as flagship and umbrella species, because in conserving the gorillas, you conserve so many other animals that are endangered. Chimpanzees, pangolins, and all, they are in the same habitat with the gorillas.
Mm.
So we need these animals to thrive so that we as humans can thrive. My final thoughts to listeners today is, up to this point, you've had a group of people, nature enthusiasts, conservationists, protecting wildlife.
Mm.
But right now, the onus falls on everybody, the government, the citizens, you and I, to protect these animals. Because in doing so, we're not doing it for passion. Mm. We're doing it for ourselves.
Mm.
We need to be comfortable, to be happy, to survive, to thrive.
Mm.
We are Nigerians. We like proverbs a lot. There's this proverb that says, if all your friends are progressing, be happy and patient because it's coming to you.
Mm.
Now, let me reverse it. If all life forms around you are disappearing, be afraid because it's coming to you.
Okay.
Now, these animals are going in extinction at a very alarming rate, and it's coming to us. So we need to check the tide. We need to stem the tide and reverse it so that we'll thrive even as they thrive.
Dr. Mark Ofua is a veterinary doctor. He is a wildlife conservationist. He is from Wild Aid. And we're going to see more of Dr. Ofua because there's so much to talk about as far as conserving wildlife is concerned. Dr. Ofua, thank you so much for your time
today.
Thank
you very much.
All right, Lagos, let me give you money. I've got 15,000 naira to give to 3 lucky people. I think that's what I've got. Is that what I've got?
Yeah.
that's what I've got.
Yes,
okay. Yes. All right, please speak into the mic. I know that you know you are backstage doing chief of staff things. But speak into the mic and tell us how this money is gonna go. Go on.
Okay, so basically.